Let us pray. Almighty God, as we meditate on your word and hear your word proclaimed, open up our hearts, open up our minds, and let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Amen. When I was little, and I don't really remember how little, and I don't really remember why we were going down south. I've been trying to think of it, and I really can't think of it. But when I was really little, my family took a trip down south. And as we were going, heading south, I kept asking my dad, especially when we would stop at a rest stop, are we in the south yet? And I really wanted to know when we were going to be in the south. And every time I asked, he looked at me and said, no, we're not in the south, you can't be in the south. And I didn't understand. And the whole trip, I asked him, are we in the South yet? I just wanted him to say, oh yeah, we passed the Mason-Dixon line. Yeah, we're in the South, or the historical South, or something like that. And every time he said, no, we're heading South. You're not in the South. You can't be in the South. And or something to that effect. I don't have a great memory, word for word, how things happen. But that's how I remember it. And now that I'm older, and I understand now what my dad was saying, that you really can't be in the South. That directions like north, south, east, west, they're all really metaphors. And they're metaphors, and just bear with me. They are metaphors for direction. That we need them to be able to orient ourselves in the world, that we would not be able to give directions to people if we did not have these metaphors saying, oh, it's north of us, or it's south of us, or it's east of us, or it's west of us. But it's really all just from your point of view, that we are east or west of Harrisburg, we are east of Carlisle, and that you're never really north or south, east or west. It's always just an orientation in relation to something else. And the reason I bring up metaphors this morning is because that's basically what the second part of today's gospel lesson is. It's a metaphor, and I want us to think about it, about metaphors. And metaphors are defined as either a figure of speech in which one word or phrase that designates one thing is applied to another in an implicitly comparison, or it's one thing is conceived as representing another, a symbol. And then those are the simple definitions. After that, if you or a person who really likes words and grammar and all those different things, you can get really complicated. There are a whole bunch of different kinds of metaphors. There are books on metaphors. Some would argue we think metaphorically, that everything is really a metaphor. And I don't want to get into all that because you all fall asleep. But I want to talk about metaphors and how problematic metaphors can be, especially because metaphors oftentimes only make sense in a given time and place. And that when we read today's metaphor in the gospel lesson, I'm not sure we really understood it the same way that Jesus meant it. Like if, for example, if I were to say Bill Gates is the king of software, that's a metaphor. But 20 years from now, no one's probably going to understand what I would mean by that or what exactly that said. And in fact, some of you probably don't know what I mean by that now. And that a metaphor really only makes sense if you understand the context in which it's given and how it's used by a society. And so when we look at today's metaphor of Jesus says that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, at first we might not really understand what he's saying. Yoke? Are we saying that Jesus is an egg? Okay. I thought that was funny. But for those of us who go beyond the egg and say, oh, he must be referring to some kind of animal that's being yoked to do some kind of work, such as plowing or carrying a cart or something like that, you know, most of us don't yoke animals anymore, that we don't plow our fields with animals, that we don't take the carriage to church, that we don't yoke an animal. In fact, I'm probably saying this all wrong because I don't yoke animals and I've never done it, don't understand the intricacies of it. But it would have been a metaphor in Jesus' time that was understood. But it also would have been understood not just because people yoked animals in Jesus' time, but it was a metaphor that people used, especially the precursors to the rabbinic tradition, that in the wisdom literature and with the Pharisees, they very often used a metaphor about being yoked to the Torah, and in contrast to the ways of this world, that being yoked to the Torah somehow benefited them, being compared to being yoked to the things of this world. And so that Jesus' metaphor that he's using here, that my yoke is easy, my burden is light, not only works on because it is about something you do with animals and that, well, we're yoked to Jesus, so our burden's not heavy and it's light, but we'll explore what that means a little bit later. But it also meant something different to his listeners because everyone else was saying, oh, we're yoked to the Torah, the written word of the Hebrew Bible, the teachings and traditions that were passed down orally. And Jesus is saying, no, you're not yoked to the Torah, or you don't have to be yoked to the Torah, that you can be yoked to me. And this is actually something that appears a few other times in the New Testament. It appears in the Gospel, or in the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter is giving a speech to the different apostles and Paul, and saying that being yoked to the Torah has not worked, and that we need to be yoked to something different. It's used in Galatians, in the chapter that's very famous about being the fruits of the Spirit, that Paul is saying, don't be yoked to the law, you can be free, and free from all that entails. And that this was a metaphor that was very popular in Jesus' time. And so Jesus is saying, don't be yoked to the Torah. Paul would have said, don't be yoked to the law, and that, you know, that you can be yoked to me, and that it's easy and light. But when you hear those words, easy and light, it creates a whole new problem. That if you read the Gospel of Matthew, the entire book, how exactly is Jesus' yoke easy and light? You look at the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is saying you need to live in a way different than the world. That's not an easy thing to do. And then Jesus says you're going to get persecuted for doing that. And that might not be a light burden. And then Jesus says a little bit before this verse today, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. That doesn't sound very easy. And then, you know, Jesus says a little bit later, anyone who loves their father or their mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves a son or a daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And you can keep going. Like when the young man asks Jesus, what do I lack? He said, oh, I do everything right. And Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So if you read the Gospel of Matthew, you say, oh, this yoke is easy, the burden is light. But then you read the Gospel of Matthew and you're like, how is it easy to be contrary to the world? How is it easy to follow someone who was a sword and was divisive? How is it easy to follow someone who says, you need to follow me even when it conflicts with your family? And how is it easy for a person who would challenge someone and say, go sell all your possessions if you really, really want to follow me? It's not easy. And it's not an easy thing to follow. And so, what exactly does Jesus mean by being yoked to him? And how exactly is it easy? And how exactly is the burden light? And when you look at this, and especially in context, it comes in a larger context that what Jesus talks about later is the Sabbath. Right next to this chapter is about the Sabbath. And that ultimately, this is not about your day-to-day, but this is about your ultimate relationship with God. And that if you really do yoke yourself to Jesus, and you really do put your priorities on what's actually important, and what's actually true, and what ultimately matters, then Jesus is saying, it's not that hard to do. Love God with all your heart and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when you look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, just pray for your daily bread and pray that God's will be done. And that what makes it hard, and when you start looking at it, you know, what makes it, we seem to make it hard, what would seem to be hard, is because we oftentimes get yoked not by Jesus, not by what ultimately matters, not by what's actually true, not by what Jesus tells us to do. But we get yoked by the things of this world. That, you know, it's easier to follow Jesus' teachings of living differently if we're not yoked to the world. If we're not saying that the world is what matters, that the world's values and the world's judgments are what we put most on high. It's easy to give away all your possessions if you're not yoked to them. And what makes it hard is that we're not yoked to Jesus, we're yoked to our possessions. And, you know, it's easy to stand up for what is right and for what is true, and to be a sword when people are saying the wrong things and doing the wrong things, if we ultimately put our faith in Jesus and whatever that might entail, if we are willing to pick up our cross. But when we yoke ourselves to our love of life, when we yoke ourselves to prestige, when we yoke ourselves to the things of this world, then that's when it becomes, that's hard. That's when it becomes a burden. That's when, you know, we have to say, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And that today's passage and this metaphor of Jesus' burden being light, of Jesus' yoke being easy, asks all of us to say, do we feel that? In following Jesus, do we feel that it's easy to do, that the burden is light, that we are following what ultimately matters? Or is it hard? Do we come out of church saying, oh, yeah, yeah. Or do we go out of a meeting at church saying, oh, this is never going to work? You know, we start looking at the future, or we look at the past, or we start looking at how are people going to think of us, and we start saying, you know. Do we come out of a church event feeling spent and worn out? And if we start saying, yeah, we are being tired, we are being worn out, we don't think that we can do what God is calling us to do, then it's a gut check, and it says, Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And if we don't feel that Jesus' yoke is easy, the burden is light, if we feel bad coming out of church, if we feel bad coming out of church meetings, then we have to ask ourselves, what are we yoked to? Why aren't we feeling like it's easy? Why aren't, you know, why is the burden not light? And I think, time and time again, the answer is that we are yoked to the things of this world. That we are yoked to things not of Jesus, but of the world. And then it does become hard. It does become a burden, because following Jesus is not following the ways of this world. It's following something completely different. So I wanted to bring up a few different ways, I think, especially in relation to the church, that we can be yoked, that causes us the problems. That sometimes we are yoked to the past. And that when we try to discern what God's will is for the future, when we try to go into the future, when we try to see where are we being called and how are we being to be, how are we being called to be church in this time and place, sometimes I think we're yoked to the past. Expectations. Oh, I remember when the church was like this, or had this many people, or we had this many services, or we had every room filled. And then we look at the present, and we're not worrying about, we're not asking God, thy will be done. We're not saying, give us this day our daily bread. We're not taking things step by step. We're not ultimately putting our love for God and our love for neighbor as primary. We're worried about the past. We're comparing ourselves to the past, and we become yoked to the past. And then it becomes hard when we try to make the church what it was in the past, and we just feel bad about it. We get tired. We get worn out. And as we come to church, if we start feeling tired and we start feeling worn out, if we leave a meeting and we feel tired and we feel worn out, we as a church have to ask ourselves, what are we yoked to? And I think sometimes the church is yoked to expectations. In a world that says bigger is better, in a world where the churches that are lifted up are the ones that have 20,000 people, in the world where, you know, value is all on money and people, sometimes we look at ourselves and maybe we become discouraged because we don't have 20,000 people. We don't have oodles of money. We don't have all the riches and glamour of a different church. And I think we become yoked to our expectations, that we don't put the focus on what ultimately matters. Loving God, loving our neighbor, taking things day by day and asking for God's will to be done. We get yoked to expectations. We get yoked to the things of this world. And then instead of living in the moment, we just get worried and burdened because we aren't meeting the expectations, and then we're yoked to them. And sometimes I think we're yoked to the future, that we get so caught up in what might be, we get so caught up in how things could be, that instead of taking things step by step, instead of asking God, thy will be done, instead of asking for our daily bread, instead of focusing on loving God and loving our neighbor, we get so focused on the future that when things don't pan out the way we would want them, when we try to take a bigger step than we're able to, when we take steps that God is not calling us to take, we get burdened, we get upset, we get discouraged. And then we get yoked to the future, we get yoked to what we think should happen, and we don't live in the moment, we don't focus on loving God, we don't focus on loving our neighbor, and we don't focus on what ultimately matters. And then we become yoked to them. And sometimes we become yoked to criticism. That in a church, we sometimes criticize each other, we attack each other, we say snide remarks, we say backhanded things, we're passive-aggressive. And that, you know, sometimes we are yoked in our worst selves. And that we as a church need to love one another. We need to love God with all our heart. We need not to worry about what happened in the past. We don't need to worry about the future. We just need to focus on our present relationship with one another and our relationship with God. And that we can't become yoked in the negative areas, our negativities, what we bring, our snide remarks, that we need to be yoked in the love of God. We need to be yoked to Jesus in a power of love and grace and mercy. And that when we come out of church and we're feeling really bad because we're just beating each other up, we as a church need to say, what are we yoked to? Are we yoked to Jesus, or are we yoked to the worst things of this world? And what I encourage all of us this morning is to just take a little check and say, you know, how am I feeling? Do I feel like it is easy to follow Jesus? Do I feel like my burden is light? And pray to God. Pray and say, you know, God, I don't feel like the burden is light. I don't think your yoke is easy. And to try to get out of the yokes of this world and get yoked to Jesus. And that I think it all starts with prayer. That we need to be prayerful. And we need to be prayerfully trying to discern, where are we at? Where is God calling us to go? And where is our focus? And help us to focus. Pray to be focused on what's actually important, what actually matters, and at the very present moment. And with that in mind, I wanted to close today's sermon with a hymn, the first and third verses of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all your sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen.